B-Pod Studios.
We know him as a restaurateur here in Southwest Florida. Many years, the proprietor of Cape Crepe and Chowder. But what people don't know is he's also the founding member of the TDB band back in the 60s. Mr. Hippie himself, there's Tony D'Amico, everybody. Hey, Tony!
Hey!
How are you, buddy?
Yeah.
You know, last week we were talking to you, and we found out that your true love was back in the Summer of Love, 1967, when you were the leader of the TDB band there in Greenwich Village.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a rude awakening for me, Stan, talking about those days because, you know, it forced me to take a hard look, and I've become my father.
Yep. You know, he had the one up in Cape May. You failed miserably at the music business, and you came with your tail between your legs back to Cape May, New Jersey, and said, "Pa, give me a job," and then eventually you led down here, and you become your father.
There's more to it than that. You know, I wouldn't say it was a complete failure.
Well, was there success during those days of the, the TDB band? Was there some success?
Well, there was success. It depends on how you define success. Now, I mean, was I as big as a strawberry alarm clock? No. But then again, who was?
Yeah. So true, Tony. So true.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Iron Butterfly and Procol Harum, they were killing it.
Yeah, and they kind of squeezed you. They probably took all the good clubs, and you had to go and do dumps, which gave you the idea to go back to the restaurant, huh?
Well, you know, and I always fancied myself as an original.
Okay, uh-huh. And what did you, did the lead vocals and guitar?
No. I did not play any instrument.
What did you do?
Well, I was just a natural front man. I had the charisma.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, they talk about it and they go, "I don't know what it is, but that guy got it."
I got to ask you, and if you lived through the 60s, you don't remember them, but I got to ask you, did you ever, during the gigging days with TDB, ever have one of those drug-induced four-hour sets that just went on and on and on? You ever have one of those nights?
Oh, I had plenty of those nights. You know, the first thing that I realized, trying to make it in that world, was that I had to be of two minds.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, I explain. What do you mean?
Well, I knew that to do what I really wanted to do, I needed some money.
Yeah.
And you know, at that time, the other people in the band is, "We don't need money. We run on love and all this."
Yeah, that was the way it was back then, and you had to be the one of two minds. Kind of hard for a guy with a half a brain, but go ahead.
So I started sneaking off during the day, and I'd pick up a couple of shifts as a short order cook. And what I would do is these guys, they'd start to conk out somewhere between 4 and 6 a.m.
Right.
You know, and what I'd do is I'd just stay up and I'd go into the city and cook eggs.
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, gotta scrape before you can grind.
And I knew that there was something that I absolutely had to have to be successful in the music business.
And what's
and
that?
So I put them on layaway. There was a men's store, Musselman's. That's what it was.
Musselman's?
Irving Musselman's had a menswear shop, and there was a pair of leather pants I knew I had to have. And so I put it on layaway. And so finally I got the leather pants and give up the short order stuff. And really, from that point, I stopped wearing a shirt.
So you would, you know, you would be shirtless?
Yeah, well, you know, later on, and I'm not saying he stole it from me, but it was a look that people enjoyed on Jim Morrison.
Sure. And you probably, well, you couldn't afford those, but you did have the snakeskin boots and stuff like that, you know, the lizard stuff, the Lizard King and all that.
Yeah, I just, I had a regular dress shoe, but I had the leather pants.
And no shirt.
And one night, it was just, I happened to be hot and took the shirt off.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know what, I might be onto something here.
Yeah.
For everybody else, it's no shirt, no shoes, no dice. But I was a performer.
Right.
Anyway, because I stopped wearing my shirt, and also I wanted to play all my original tunes.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts. You got to have some cover tunes.
Well, the band turned on me.
All two of them.
And they said, we can't make no money. Well, I said, you know what? I'll be a son of a bitch if I'm going to stand up there and sing Dave Clark 5 tunes.
Well, you got to add one or two. Dave, Chad and Jeremy, Dave Clark 5. You got to add a few of them in there with your original stuff. That's how your original stuff would get noticed.
Well, I tell you, the straw that broke this camel's back is when they tried to make me sing Red Rubber Ball. Hey, I know. That's it. And they got very mouthy, and they said, you know what? You'd be nothing without us.
Yeah.
You can't even play an instrument.
Yep.
There would be no TDB without us.
That's right. That's right. And the two of them left.
And I was a heavy drinker at that time. And I told them all, you could not possibly be further from the truth. I am the true talent, and as a matter of fact, you guys do what you want. I'm going solo. I can figure out how to do what you do, but you can't ever have what I have, which is charisma, baby.
And whatever became of them?
One of them became a long-distance trucker. The other one became a pharmacist. I had greater success after I ditched the band.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you had further success? What was this, around 1969, 70?
Yes, when I went solo, I did put out one solo record.
Okay, yeah. What was that called?
It was a picture of me on the cover, but behind me is a giant pot leaf. And the name of the record was Time for Me to Leaf.
Shirtless? Were you shirtless on the cover?
Yeah, it was very popular, iconic. Iconic album cover in, you know, in a regional area, especially upstate. A lot of the farm kids up there loved it. And it was just me. I learned 3 chords, and I was performing shirtless, except outdoors during the wintertime. I had to make an exception.
Where you wore a leather vest.
Oh, if only I could afford a leather vest. Yeah. It was a denim vest. But I met up with this farm kid, and I was doing okay with my solo stuff. Now, you know, your expectations of the crowd change from a band to a solo act.
Right.
So I was drawing a good 12 to 15 people. I met this kid from New Rochelle.
Yeah.
And he started following me around.
Yeah, like a groupie.
Yeah. And it ended up just being me and him one night on the road. And I said, you know, I don't think I can do this no more. He said, you're an artist. You have to. I said, no, the money's not there. It just ain't working. Uh-huh. Hell, I can't even afford to buy any more drugs. And the kid said, money's your problem? Yeah, that's what I said. Drugs your problem? Yeah, that's what I said. The kid said, okay, I want you to pull over right now, Tony. And I go into this little mom-and-pop grocery store. And I'm down to my last bottom dollar. And I said, you know what? I can't afford nothing. What is it you want? If you're hungry, we'll figure something out. But he said, Tony, all I need is bread, yeast, and orange juice from concentrate. To this day, I don't know how in the hell he did it.
Yeah.
But we made more money from bread, yeast, and orange juice from concentrate during that summer and fall than I've ever made in my life.
Oh, my God. Well, what do you mean? What did you do?
I don't know how this kid did it. He was a pure genius. But it was something to do with spores.
What?
I don't know what he did with it. He said, let me worry about that. But it was all based around some sort of mold. Turned out to be some sort of poor man's LSD.
What? What?
And the problem was, this kid could produce this stuff, but the potency was unreliable. So finally, I said, you know what? This is going down a bad road. I don't know what ever happened to him.
And then that's when you went back to the restaurant with your pa?
It killed me, Stan.
Yeah, it killed you. And now that dream, that what you were living.
I'm him. I'm not Tony D anymore. I'm just Tony.
Yeah. Tony. Tony Restaurant Tour.
Tony Failure.
I'm Steve Downs. Some of you may know me as the voice of Halo's Master Chief. In 1997, Bill Clinton was president of the United States.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Princess Diana was laid to rest. And the Florida Marlins won the World Series.
And the Florida Marlins are world champions.
That was also the year Stan and Haney began doing afternoons on 96 K-Rock. They said it would never last. Some even plotted to make sure it would never last. But for some ungodly reason, they're still here. Stan and Haney. Whether you like it or not. Afternoons on 96 K-Rock.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. On all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all other news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws ties and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Thank you for joining us. My name is Stan. There's my friend Mark Haney, through the glass, doing something that has nothing to do with the show. His junior.
Well, I think his headphone cord got twisted and it's turned into a project. You know how that is. That's part of growing up, you know, learning to untangle knots and stuff like that.
There's a lot of stuff I do behind the glass.
Yeah, and most of it is best that we don't see.
Not involved with anything to do with the show.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. You do a lot of stuff, I admit that. Let me ask you something, and I want your honest opinion. There was nearly an animal death in my house this morning. Do I look tired?
Yes.
Yeah, you look a little beat.
Yeah, well, I mean, to those that don't know you, they wouldn't say so. What I see is you doing your best to project that you're not tired, but you really are.
I'm exhausted. I have this cat.
And what's that cat's name again?
Lenny. Short for Lennon.
Now, before Stan had Lenny, he had a cat he didn't particularly care for called Cat.
Yeah.
And when Cat died, Stan realized, I had Cat all wrong. I miss Cat.
Yeah.
And then spent tons of money, had to enlist the help of many other people, including an innocent family from Fort Myers, yes, that had to drive from the woods of Alabama to get this wildcat.
It was just a kitten then.
And drive 12 hours straight to bring it to Stan.
He's just a kitten.
He's now had it several years, and I think in his heart of hearts realizes he's made a horrible mistake. I told my daughter about this cat a while ago, and I forgot to tell you what her reaction was.
What?
So, Dad, you mean Stan went out of his way to bring a predator into his living room?
Pretty close.
That's about it, kiddo. Bingo.
It's got the giant paws.
Because
you
didn't want
toes.
You didn't want some house cat.
It's got the bob tail.
How was this sold to you when you really wanted him?
You were here when it was sold to me.
No, but I mean, what clicked in your mind that made that appealing to you?
I want to have something with a little personality.
Well, you got it.
So I look tired to you, don't I?
You didn't say what kind of personality.
No, not a killer personality. God forbid, if anything happened to me in the house, he'd feed off me.
Well, that's a given. Well, so would everything else you got in there. Eventually, they'd get out.
The cat has gotten into a habit. One that, and I know that people listening who have regular house cats will go text a bunch of little tips. This don't work with this
cat. What's the cat's name again?
Lenny.
How big a boy is Lenny now?
He's big.
What would you say he weighs?
25 pounds.
At least.
At least. Maybe pushing 30. If my wife's listening, she can go on the scale and weigh him. But this creature, this attack animal.
So you will no longer call it a cat or Lenny. It's a creature now.
It's an attack animal. Has gotten into the habit of, because I can't, A, I don't want.
Well, you've had to secure your bedroom door.
That's
because
what I'm saying.
You
I don't
have,
let him in there.
Because you have a lot of falls at night and you're afraid that if it were to catch you vulnerable, that might be it.
I don't let him in there. So what the animal does is it waits for any sound in the bedroom early in the morning and thinks we're getting up.
So it is acting like a hunter.
Oh,
it's got its ears perked up, monitoring anything that goes on.
Well, here's the habit that he's gotten into. So and this has happened, we've had 5 days this week, Monday through Friday. This has happened probably 3 of the last 5 days, probably 10 of the last 14. I look, I'm rolling, lying in bed, I open my eyes, the clock says something like 5:30, 5:10 in the morning. And I have to use the restroom. So I get out of bed, and I walk to the toilet, and you can hear the animal run down the hall. I get out of the bathroom, flush the toilet, go back into bed, and the cat will lunge itself at the door.
Throwing the full body weight.
Throwing its full body at the door.
Like it's serving a no-knock warrant.
Yep. Howling, scratching, nonstop. I say to myself, the cat can get tired. The cat's going to get tired and give up.
Wear himself out.
This morning, woke up, I looked at the clock. You know, I like time and I like to be exact, and I'm at that looking at the digital.
Yeah, you don't
clock.
Relax when you sleep.
Nope. Said 5:17 when I got up to use the bathroom, lie back down. From 5:18 when I got back into bed until when I woke up at 5:50 this morning, the cat was nonstop throwing its body against the door and scratching at the door and nonstop. So what you say to yourself, well, what does the cat want? What does the cat want?
I would think food.
He has an automatic feeder. Because when you go down and feed him by hand, he'll bite you. So I get up, and this is his pattern. I get up 5:50 this morning. I'm a walking zombie. Open up the door. He immediately trots down the hallway. He starts trotting. He's all happy now. Goes into the kitchen where his food is and wants me to see him eating. And I'm like, is this what it's about?
And he wants you to see him eating.
I'll throw on the light. He comes trotting down the hallway. Meanwhile, he's just out of kick range.
Doing that fast cat walk.
That little cat trot.
When they're real happy.
Yep. And so I'm in the kitchen as I'm getting coffee ready, and he just wants me to see that he's eating. It's not like he doesn't have food. He's got a full bowl of food. It just dispensed it. He wants to let me see him eating.
and then I will go and make coffee. And once I go and get the coffee brewing, and I have that, you know, the same, have that first smoke of the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's once I do that, now the sun isn't even up. He goes and lies down. And he just
passes out, probably.
Just as happy as can be. Just wanted me up so I could look at him eating. 3 days this week.
That's a useless cat.
Yep. And the thing is, my wife and I have talked about it. Can we? I'd love to.
Well, you've tried to pawn it off on me. I don't know how many times.
I'd love to give the cat a good home. But if you had to post it, say, on Craigslist or on Facebook.
I don't even know if it's legal.
I don't even think. But if you had to, who would want this cat? I'd have to put in the thing. Not good with children.
Dangerous animal.
Not good with the elderly. Because it'll kill an old person and it'll fight kids.
Oh, okay, you've told me if you show the slightest weakness around that cat.
Go. So who gets the cat? Somebody that doesn't have any young children and somebody that's not elderly. That's the only way. You got to find something in there. I'll gladly give him the cat.
There's some people out there that would love to take in that cat because they think they can fix the cat.
No,
it's impossible
to fix.
That's
what they think.
Why would they think that? Everybody knows that animals are either trained or not trained very early in life.
Yeah. Crazy cat ladies. They think they can fix them.
You want the cat?
Do I want the cat?
Yeah, you want it?
God, no. No.
Okay, take it.
No, I'm good.
No, he just got done dealing with that murderer's dog that used to go all over the place.
Oh, yeah, the leg lifter.
Yep, the leg lifter.
All right, we'll take a break.
Now, imagine what that cat would do with all the wires and equipment he's got there.
If that dog still lived with me, I would take your cat just so I could see that cat destroy this dog.
There's no point. The cat is too big to be a companionable animal, and it's not big enough to kill a monkey, so why have it? That's what you need. If you're going to have a vicious animal like that, they got to be at least big enough to take down a monkey.
I knew it, and I didn't think it was going to be Shark Girl that had to say this. It's because you don't let the cat outside. A doggy door for your patio would be great. He does go outside on the patio, and you know what? I got to go and drop maybe about $1,000 because he's shredded the screens.
And what's he going to do? What's he going to do out there anyway?
He knows.
There's no room out there.
He looks around.
I've been to your house.
Yeah.
There's barely enough room for you and I to sit side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and have a smoke.
He thinks he's outside, and he sheds the screen. Just strips.
Now, this cat is full of itself. If he did end up, say, through an accident.
Yeah.
Out in the slough.
Yeah.
In the real stuff.
Yeah.
Does it have too big an opinion of itself, or do you think it could live?
Oh, it would be destroyed. You get one of them wild animals out there that really knows, because he'll act tough.
But do you think that...
eventually, he'd probably survive.
Do you think he could take down a squirrel and eat it?
Oh, easy. That's a piece of cake.
Now, I don't doubt taking the squirrel, but would you think it would know to eat the squirrel?
Maybe. After a while, if it was hungry enough, I know it would eat me.
It would probably sit around, you know, lick the fur for a while, and then realize the squirrel's not moving, go a little deeper. And then from then on, he'd start to view it as food.
That's where he could handle a squirrel.
But do you think he'd square off against a bobcat thinking he could win?
Well, I think that a bobcat, no. He'd start losing at the size of something like a woodchuck. He could handle a squirrel, a mouse, a rat. Raccoons and him would probably play.
Really? Yeah. I would think a raccoon would rip him to shreds with his attitude.
They'd play.
So you think he'd co-op some wildlife?
Probably.
You're really making this cat out to be like a feline Hannibal Lecter.
That's what he is.
Vicious yet brilliant.
Yep, he is. I gotta take a break.
Look at me, I'm eating.
Yep, look at me, I'm exhausted.
Oh, me too. Yep. I'm gonna lay down now.
Yep. Not good with children. Or elderly.
Is it good with anyone?
No, but you got, if you're relatively healthy and an adult.
And you can fend it off.
Yeah, you can handle it.
A toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. So I just got a text message from my wife. I wanted her to weigh the cat. And I just looked online. The average adult cat weighs between 8 and 12 pounds.
That's a house cat.
Yes. Mine clocked in at just under 19.
But you wanted this.
Yeah. He can be, he can, he turns. I mean, it's, if you're like sitting down and he wants to go and sit on your lap and snuggle and all that, he's fine. He's the nicest cat in the world until you want to go up and get a drink or you got to move him off because the phone's ringing or something. Then he'll go and hurt you. As long as you're doing what he wants you to do, he's fine.
Almost like he has a split personality.
Yeah.
Almost like maybe his mother was a house cat and his father was a wild cat.
Well, that's what it was.
Oh!
let's do the grab bag.
And I don't want to insult you again, but you got, what, 600-800 feet under air there?
It's just under 1,000.
All right, we'll count the lanai.
And the lanai is big enough for chairs, table, Clyde the tortoise is out there in his pen.
And in that space,
yeah,
you have two adults.
Yeah.
Multiple creeping things.
Yeah.
And into that environment, you have introduced a wild cat with the instincts of a true predator, and it's been confined in this area for years.
Oh, we've tried putting a leash on him and taking him outside, but he breaks out of it. We got him the largest cat harness that you could get to let him walk outside, feel grass and all that stuff. It's too small for him. We get the small dog harness. And once the harness is on him, he will, and they say on the thing, virtually impossible to get out of.
Escape proof.
Yep. Except Houdini here. He breaks right out of it.
Does he like being outside?
No. He gets scared. He starts, you know how they do when they get on their little haunches there and...
Oh, yeah, because it's smelling everything around and... Going, hey, I don't rule this place.
Nope. And then he runs back inside.
Boy, I really need to pee.
Big baby.
Need to make sure everybody knows this is my spot.
He is very good with his litter box, though. Never a mistake. Ever.
That was an issue with Cat.
Yes. Yes, it was, but I didn't know he had stomach cancer. grab bag.
That's what made you love him.
Right.
Yeah, after Cat died, and they go, well, it's no wonder, Stan. Cat's been suffering from stomach cancer for years.
Yeah, I felt bad then.
Oh, poor Cat.
Yeah.
I'd apologize, but he's dead.
Yeah, and I remember the vet asking me, because I was not a big fan of that cat either. The vet said, well, we're going to have to put him to sleep before we do that.
How soon?
Well, they were doing it to me. They said, for $500.
$500?
Yes, but they send you a sympathy card. So the vet says, would you like to spend a few more minutes with him before we do the procedure? No, I'm good. Just tell me how much I owe. Then they send you a sympathy card. Grab bag brought to you
nice
by
you know, it's
the Pewter Mug
nice
North.
Nice touch, I guess.
Yep. US 41 North Naples.
And it's a shame you couldn't have enjoyed your time with Cat.
Yeah.
But I guess it posthumously you... Now love the animal.
Yeah, he was a good cat. We've been talking about cats. Let's talk about dogs.
Well, that's a whole nother can of worms.
You have purebred dogs, and you have what they call
a mutt, a mixed breed. Today is National Mutt Day, and I've put together a short film.
National Mixed Breed Day, or National Mutt Day. Look, there's a Chihuahua mixed with a Great Dane. Wouldn't you have liked to see how that was made possible? There's Benji, a mixed breed found in the Burbank Animal Shelter. He's a movie star, and now he's doing butt wheelies on the carpet. Hey, there's the dog that played Old Yeller. He was a Labrador Retriever mixed with a Mastiff. Look, he's lifting his leg and doing his business on the actor's leg. Looks like someone's going to need a costume change. Remember to go to a shelter and rescue a mixed breed dog today.
I did that for National Mutt Day. Well, help you know a little bit more about that.
You know, when you... when you go and get a mutt, you know, from the Humane Society or something like that, that's when life is truly like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get.
Because mutts can be so much smarter than the average dog, and they can be much dumber, too.
Yep. Just depends. Guys, we'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show. You know, working outside in that hot summer heat can make certain things very sweaty. How about trying this?
As hot days continue, any man working outdoors can tell you, you don't want your ball peen hammer sticking to your nuts and bolts. That's why you need the new peen pouch. Keeps your tool tucked away from your other parts, keeping it cool and dry all hot day long.
What about us guys with smaller tools?
Well, little fella, you need the new Peeny Pad. A soft puff of sheepskin fluff treated with baby powder so your Pokey Joe don't get any friction.
We still talking about tools?
As the heat continues, you and your hammer will have it made in the shade with the new Peen Pouch. Slide your hammer in today. That feels good.
Ask for it by name. Peen Pouch.
Talking about tools.
Yeah. This.
Boy, I'm looking at baseball highlights with nobody there. Yeah. That's weird.
Yep. Yeah. And Air Fives.
Oh, look, there's the fake fans. They only had a couple of them, though.
This is, you know how some people, let's use a simple example. Let's just use a simple example. The Ouija board. We know it's a piece of cardboard made by Parker Brothers. Some people know that. Other people, oh, it's mysterious. Oh, this is really communicating with me. All that kind of crap. There is a past life regression thing trending on that China TikTok right now.
Better hurry. The president's coming for it.
People are watching an old video from, I don't know, about 7-8 years ago of a guy named Brian Weiss who claims it's possible to tap into your past lives while meditating. Okay, fun. All right. Here's a woman that did it, and she's convinced she murdered somebody in 1968 from a past life while using this TikTok meditation crap.
So when I did it, I remember feeling like I was in 1960s Mexico City. I was wearing an orange turtleneck, a white miniskirt, and I was with this guy who was kind of like in a tweed material suit. Every time I looked at him, I just got this feeling of like sadness and loss. And then when I woke up, I just immediately started bawling. I decided to just Google 1960s Mexico City, and then 1968, there was a huge massacre of students who were protesting the Olympics that were going to happen there, protesting the government. The army was deployed and a bunch of students were killed, and the government ignored it for years, but they finally reopened the investigation in 1998, the year I was born.
Whoa!
Come on!
You know what? God forbid any of them do that right. They got no idea what they're inviting in.
Yep.
Scientists in England say they finally know where stones from Stonehenge came from, an area about 15 miles away from where they currently are. They still don't know how they were moved, though, but it reminded me of
Stonehenge, where the demons dwell, where the banshees live, and they do live well. Stonehenge, where a man is a man, and the children dance to the pipes of Pan.
Yeah, I just started thinking of the tap.
Ah. It was so glorious, the dwarves trotting upon it.
Yep. Great stuff. We were telling you yesterday.
The little children of Stonehenge.
We were telling you yesterday about the passing of former presidential candidate Herman Cain. And certain people love to throw it out there. Well, you know, 2 weeks after he went to the Trump Tulsa rally, he got sick, and that's what caused him to die, that Trump rally. Here's a voice from the dead. Herman Cain himself talking about the rally after he left it. Now, he died from COVID, but he talked about that rally, that Trump rally, and these are his own words.
First of all, people were concerned because of the media about whether or not this was going to turn into another uptick in the number of cases for COVID-19. Temperature checks were taken on everybody. They took my temperature. Masks were worn by some people. I wore a mask when I was in groups of people. Sanitizer was everywhere. So people didn't have an excuse. Whether or not it's going to work or not, we don't know. But the chances are, even though it was a crowded room of people, if they took precautions, probably not going to be a big uptick.
That's his own words. And he did it of his own free will.
Man, it's amazing the disrespect shown him.
Yep. Horrible. I got a little clip here. You're going to get a kick out of this, especially if you're a Beatles fan or their staying power. Their last album was 50 years ago. It's a clip done in 1962 when the Beatles, before they were even famous, somebody interviewed them and asked them about their future. It's 1962. They didn't even come to America until 1964.
Were they still, like, in Hamburg in 1962?
They were doing Hamburg, Germany in 1962. They were in Liverpool in 1962. It was 1963 that Brian Epstein discovered them, took them to London. So they're being interviewed. What is your future? What do you think being in this group is going to do for you? And all four of them answer.
People demand that you think, how long are you going to last? You can be big-headed and say, yeah, we're going to last 10 years. But as soon as you've said that, you think, you know, we're lucky if we last 3 months.
Well, obviously, we can't keep playing the same sort of music until we're about 40, because nobody's going to want to know at all about that sort of thing. We've thought about it. Probably the thing that John and I will do will be write songs as we have been doing. We'll probably develop that a bit more. Who knows, at 40, we may not know how to write songs anymore.
I hope to have enough money to go into a business of my own by the time we do flop. And, but I think we'll be in the business, either up there or down there, for at least another 4 years.
I've always fancied having a lady's hairdressing, so, you know, or stringing them, in fact.
They had no idea. This is good, too. Drew Barrymore, you're Drew Barrymore, Amy, is hyping up her upcoming talk show. She's got one coming up. The show premieres. It's the Drew Barrymore Show. It'll premiere on September 14th. So she promoted it by doing some creative editing of taking her 7-year-old self when she was on Johnny Carson in 1982 and making it so that Drew Barrymore today can interview 7-year-old Drew Barrymore. And she did it to promo her show. Here you go.
Please welcome Drew Barrymore.
I've been waiting all my life to meet you.
It's been a wild ride. Can you believe I have two daughters around your age?
Kind of scary.
I have so much to fill you in on. Want to hear about our new daytime show?
I'd love to.
We're going
to
spend an hour every day celebrating life.
Oh.
I'm so excited. I could scream. Want to do it with me?
Guys, ready?
Pretty cool.
You're bringing back a lot of memories,
yeah,
Dan.
Yeah, I know.
Mind if you brought him up and you're a big fan. Would you mind if we listen to my favorite Beatles song for just a second or two?
Sure, go ahead.
1962. Long time ago, wasn't it? They were big in Germany.
They were huge. They also did She Loved You in German, too.
You don't say.
Yes. Yeah, the sheep did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How important are lyrics really?
Yeah, it depends. Although German, I mean, you listen to very aggressive language.
Angry language.
Yes.
Now, you don't know what they're saying, but does it bother you?
No. And by the way, you're saying, is it an exact translation?
Probably not.
It's not. And and you were absolutely right. The record Capitol Records in Germany asked them specifically to do a couple of German versions because it was they were so popular there.
Now, did they have to do it phonetically,
yes,
or did they know the language?
There was actually a writer in Germany that wrote out the words
phonetically.
Phonetically, and yes, and that's why they say they don't match up to the English translation completely.
That could not have been easy.
No,
for four lads from Liverpool, and then they shortly, very shortly thereafter, reached the point where they could say, "No, we're not."
Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. When we come back, we'll have the local beat for you. Another historic place is going away because they don't want to bother putting some money in and replenishing it.
I don't even know what it is, but I do know this. Not like we have that many of them.
Nope. And also a surprise song from a band that hasn't recorded in 19 years. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Suddenly, there's a whole new way of looking at radio. Introducing
Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Unbelievable. Let me just explain to you what just happened while that song was playing. You know, we've been having phone problems, and the phone company's been working on them. One of the lines that was still out that supposedly they're working on, Junior picked it up, and it was somebody calling, and it wasn't even the number they were dialing.
Well, I had to reprogram.
Is this, and they give you the number? No, you got a wrong number. It's not even the number. And they're going back and forth right now. I think they're working on it. I think they are.
He's talking to people that aren't even dialing the number.
They're not even calling us.
No, they're calling somebody else.
So he's just like a switchboard.
Yes, he's acting like a switchboard over there. And here's the thing that bothers me, Haney. He's having long conversations with him.
Well, that's just his nature.
Yep, it's been 19 years. But the girls are back. The Go-Go's.
None the worse for wear, I'm sure.
Oh, you look as young as ever. That Belinda Carlisle. This is Club Zero. Time's up. It's a clarion call. The zero hour is upon us all. Tick tock, tick tock. I don't like that.
Tick tock bad.
Yep, bad. There we go.
We got the beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better.
By the way, brand new Go-Go's. I sent it over to Junior. He doesn't know who the Go-Go's are.
The Go-Go's.
Go-Go's. I said, Belinda Carlisle? Nope. Doesn't ring a bell. What?
I've never heard of them.
Well, let's get this right. You were born in 1993?
Yes, yes. 1993.
So, I mean, the Go-Go's weren't around then.
Yeah, but their music was around.
And he probably didn't become self-aware until 2003.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until he was 10, he became self-aware.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've never heard of them. What are their hits?
Am I going to educate him here? I guess I am.
Yeah, educate me. I want to hear some hits.
But this is the first one that they've put out in like 19 years.
That means nothing to him.
But that means nothing. Maybe one of their hits.
I was 8 years old when they put out their last one.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you have heard these things. It may have been through commercials or movies, but you're going to know what it is when I play it. I'll be very generous. I'll give you, what do you think, 30 seconds, 60 seconds?
30 seconds.
30 seconds, name this tune.
All right.
I would say this is their most famous.
Yeah.
It sounds really familiar. Oh, hold on. The name is in the chorus, isn't it?
Yep.
All right. Pick up the beat, I'm assuming? I've heard this before. I don't know the name of it.
You can't name the song.
No. Pick up the beat. I don't know. It's in the chorus, right?
Yeah.
He's got the beat. What? What are they saying? Stop staring at me. Tell me what the name of it is.
We're just going to wait until you get it.
You're warm.
She's got the beat. We got the beat.
Yay! Play the other one. The one that started. You know which one I'm talking about.
You want me to go in chronological or the one you're thinking of?
The one I'm thinking. Where's my pen?
There. I know what you're thinking of.
All right. Roll them. Yeah, there we go.
Is that what you're thinking of? No?
No. Oh, yeah, it is.
Wonder what this song's called.
Can't seem to get my mind up on you. Back here at home, I've got to do. Now
know what this is? What it's called, Junior?
Wish I had stayed? No. It's in the chorus, isn't it?
Yes.
So we're coming up on it. All right. Vacation.
There you go.
All right.
Attaboy.
One more.
I know the Goo Goos.
Go Go's.
Oh, the Go Go's. Sorry.
Any guess?
No guess. I don't think I've heard this before.
I bet this will be his favorite one.
Oh, I've heard this. Yeah. I don't know the name. I'm assuming it's in the chorus, though.
Yes.
It's in the chorus, all right. So I know how they name their songs now.
Oh, they were partiers. They loved to party in the 80s.
What'd she say?
The title of the song?
I don't know what she even said. I'm coming up no-sale on this one.
Are you familiar with the band?
I'm familiar with the band now. I recognize the songs.
Give him one more chance. Right here, Junior.
What? What?
What was she saying?
How does it feel? No.
My friend Cecile.
Oh, my friend Cecile?
Our lips are sealed.
Our lips are sealed? It sounded more like our my friend Cecile, yeah.
That's the Go-Go's. They just put out a new record. Ah, the first one in 19 years.
Yeah, the Go-Go's sound good.
Go-Go's.
Go-Go's.
That's so odd. Because, you know, he sits in here with us every day, and just it seems like he would know.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
Well, he wasn't alive.
So what? There's a lot of music that came out when I wasn't alive. I'm familiar with Glenn Miller. He was long dead before I was born.
The Chattanooga Choo Choo?
What?
Chattanooga Choo Choo?
I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, that was you making him loud?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we knew stuff before we were born.
I was supposed to know stuff before I was born.
Yeah, it was expected of us.
It was expected. You're supposed to know stuff.
I know old songs, too.
Like what?
Have you ever heard the song Manteca by Dizzy Gillespie?
Yes, I have.
Great song.
I was listening to that yesterday.
You're talking to a guy who hung out with Dizzy Gillespie.
No.
Yeah.
How you like them apples?
We're going to talk off break.
I was in his hotel room hanging out with him.
No.
Yeah.
Stan, I thought we'd let that part of your life go.
I know. It wasn't one of the most, well... I don't do any of that stuff anymore. Let's do.
And that's when you had to give up jazz altogether.
Yeah, when I had to. You never believe the underbelly of the jazz world. Let's do the
all
local beat.
Crazy stuff happened in the jazz world.
Yes. This is sad.
Local beat?
Local beat. This was in the Fort Myers News Press today, and I want to give credit to writer Dave Dorsey, who wrote a much longer article than this, but I'm borrowing from. Headline. And it is sad. Historic train depot set for demolition in Fort Myers.
You're not talking about the library, are you?
No, this is, I'm going to tell you exactly, and you'll know what it is when you see it, and you'll know where it's at. The almost century-old building that housed Riley Brothers Hardware Store and had been a Fort Myers train station between 1927 and 1952 is being demolished this coming week. Those who want to watch or take a last glimpse had better hurry
and stay behind the fence near the 3026 East River Drive, north of Palm Beach Boulevard, just east of downtown. Riley Brothers moved there in 1968. They closed the store in 2007 at what had been the abandoned Seaboard Airline Railroad Station. The late Jim Riley often said Henry Ford used the station when he wanted to arrive in secrecy. From there, he would walk on foot to his home on McGregor Boulevard. The late 60s saw the arrival of the hardware store after the closure of the railway. Lee County issued the demolition permits on July 22nd. Randy Price, a real estate developer from Western Michigan, who has spent the past 20 years visiting Fort Myers for vacations, bought the property plus the adjacent former gas station. He combined them into a five-acre parcel. Gonna develop it. Gina Sabiston, vice president of the Lee Trust for Historic Preservation, said it pained her that another building from Fort Myers' early city years would be destroyed. She saw plenty of historical value in trying to keep and refurbish the old depot. Like a time capsule, this is, and they showed current pictures. Like a time capsule, part of the word white can still be seen on the outside and above one of the doorways as a reminder of the city's segregated past, as the depot had separate entryways for black and white passengers. Quote, it's been the same story for decades where people just don't want to deal with property maintenance or code issues or vandalism, and they use that as an excuse to tear down buildings, Sabiston said. It's easier to tear down a building than to restore it. But when you restore it, people don't often realize there are multiple studies that show the building becomes even more valuable. The old depot and store, they say, is infested with termites, has a caving in roof. Price bought the property. The building is being torn down. Yep, it was the Fort Myers train station between 1927 and 1952. And catch your last glimpse of it. Wasn't it just like a year and a half ago, the one in downtown, they tore down? We got a chunk of the bar that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
The total shame.
Yep. Shame. We'll be back. Gonna give you a chance to win when we come back.
What a shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Stan and Haney.
Shame.
96 K-Rock.
The only radio show in history to escape from the jaws of a dinosaur. Only to meet a dishy brunette who breaks hearts like glass.
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Everybody, Stan and Haney, Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. So glad to have you with us. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails all on the way. We're going to give you a chance to win here in just a second, but I want to remind you about International Beer Day. Not National Beer Day, International Beer Day. And that's coming up on Friday, August 7th. K-Rock will be celebrating. You can join us at Mangoritas on Fort Myers Beach, Latitude 78 in Cape Coral, and South Street and Big Head Tavern in Naples for this all-day celebration. We're going to be giving away gift cards to use at our participating bars and restaurants. Plus, we'll be making stops at all four of our International Beer Day sponsors to give away T-shirts and Stan and Haney K-Rock bumper stickers, which we don't have in the building yet. But I'm told that they're on the way.
Alleged bumper stickers.
Yep. Details at 96krock.com and the K-Rock mobile app. Now, while we're talking about International Beer Day, here's something that we haven't done in a while, and I'm ready to go and find some winners.
Hi, I'm Stan, and I've got just
one question.
Just one question. If you have the right answer, you're going to get a prize. It's very simple. We got Stan and Haney signed T-shirts. We got telescoping back scratchers. And we've got haircuts at Twin Cuts. That's what we have available. New stuff coming on Monday. Just going to do a quick little Stan's one question. This is... assume this to be pre-COVID. This was something that was done earlier in the year. And it's just one question that I want to ask you. And keep in mind, pre-COVID. What's the most popular drink, cocktail drink, in America?
As in a mixed drink?
Yep.
Convivial?
Yep, a mixed drink.
Cordial?
Social? a new survey was highball. Done. Highball? No, it's not like a straight-up drink. This is a drink concoction, a cocktail. Survey was done.
So I think really the only definition of that would be more than one ingredient, and at least one of those ingredients must be booze.
Correct. You nailed it. So they determined what is the most popular cocktail. I know what number one is. I have the top five most popular cocktails. Name one of the most popular cocktails and win a prize. Phone lines are released, so you can call now, 277-9600. I'll take the calls cold. Recent survey, pre-COVID. And then I got a little caveat question to ask, maybe for another prize, if we go through these quickly enough. New survey was done. What is the most popular cocktail in America right now? That would be, as Haney said, multiple ingredients, one of them including booze. Ahoy, who's this?
Mike Stenberg.
Am I on a speakerphone?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Ahoy, who's this?
Marty in Naples.
Marty. Party Marty.
How'd you know?
Yeah, because you called yesterday when we were doing question of the week.
Yeah, but I didn't win nothing.
Of course you didn't. That's a participation thing. This is a contest.
Do easy. I get a trophy?
He's done a lot of acid. Stan,
yeah, a lot of acid.
Hey,
you wasted right now, bro?
Not yet.
All right, but you're getting there.
Oh, I'm working on it.
Yeah, you're very well lubricated.
I would imagine he'd know a thing or two about cocktails.
Yep. What's the number one cocktail in America?
Oh, margarita.
You are absolutely right. And you've had a few of those in your day, haven't you?
Oh, until I got to be 72.
God bless you. And are we in good health? The liver good and everything? The lungs good?
Hey, I do the same things today I did 50 years ago.
Yep.
Good for you.
That's what keeps me healthy.
But most now of it today is done in a chair.
I'm organic.
Well, compared to 50 years ago, the only difference is now you probably drink top shelf stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Not like that rot gut you did when in your younger years.
I smoke more.
Sure. What brand?
Sensimilla. Okay.
So you got it medical or do you still buy?
I plant my own.
So you became virtually a botanist over the years then.
Oh, man. That's what I studied.
Yep. And do you smoke every day?
I smoke all day.
All day long. And what way do you do it? Do you smoke it? Do you use a bong, a pipe, papers?
And I smoke my Marlboros along with it for a chaser.
Is there any point in the day? Well, let's put it this way. When was the last time that you were clear-headed?
This morning around 6 o'clock.
All right, so you got up at 6 this morning?
Yeah.
All right, now, Marty, take me. You're 72 years old, everyday pot smoker. You drink, you smoke cigarettes, living the life the same way you did when you were younger. You got up this morning, and what is after you go and use the restroom? You walk into the kitchen. What's the first thing you do?
Coffee.
A good strong.
And then the restroom.
And then the restroom, because that always gets things rolling. And then how long before you smoke your first dude? What's first, the marijuana or the Marlboro?
Oh, the Marlboro. Oh, yeah, I got to wait a little bit on the other.
Sure.
I only do that when I start drinking
beer. Yeah, and what time of day do you have your first drink?
Oh, noon.
Noon, crack of noon. Yeah.
So between 6 a.m. and noon, you can get things done.
That's it.
Okay. What would you like from us? I've got a Stan and Haney signed T-shirt. I've got a back scratcher, which sounds like you could really use, or a haircut.
I need a COVID haircut.
Okay, you got it, buddy. I'm going to give you a gift certificate to Twin Cuts. Hold on.
Party on, Marty.
Party on. That guy. I like that dude. All right, there's a couple of more popular drinks. The margarita is number one. 60% of people surveyed said they have ordered a margarita at a bar or restaurant in the last 3 months. 60% of people surveyed.
And you know, I bet most of them are people that would never, ever order tequila in any other circumstance.
Correct. There are four other popular drinks. Ahoy, who's this?
Yeah, this is Curtis.
Yes, Curtis. What do you think? We have margarita. What do you think is another of the most popular drinks in America? Cocktails.
I'm going to say, how about a rum and coke?
No. Not
really.
Not there. The rum and coke is not there. And I'm looking at this. They survey a lot of people. We go to a bar, you order a rum and coke or something. I think a lot of this might have been done around the country with people on vacation. I'll bet you they did the survey at like a resort or several resorts. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Johnny.
Johnny, we have margarita at number one. Four other most popular cocktails in America.
How about the mojito?
Yeah, it came in at number five, a mojito. They said 29% of people have ordered a mojito at a bar or restaurant in the last 3 months. You are absolutely right. Do you want a haircut, a back scratcher, or a signed Stan and Haney T-shirt?
Oh, the signed T-shirt, of course.
All right, buddy, hold on. La, la, ta. Line one, there's somebody waiting for a T-shirt.
And that's how you motivate people, right
these
there.
These are things that I should not be dwelling on.
What, hiya, hiya, hiya?
Yes, go to line one. He's on line one. Oh, did you remember to get them? Yeah! The automatic. All right, hold on, what did I get there? Hold on, where's my pen? Margarita was number one.
Mojito was number 5. Most popular cocktail in America. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Kyle.
Kyle, how are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, pal. Thank you for asking. We have margarita. We have mojito. There are 3 still on the list, 2 through 4. One of them, of these 5, most popular cocktails in America.
I'd have to say with the state that we're in right now is the Molotov cocktail on there.
No, not there. You got to find that in Portland. Portland would have a correct answer. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. You a drinker?
I am. I used to be a bartender also.
Oh, then this should be a piece of cake for you. This should... All right, we got...
This is a layup,
this
man.
This is a layup, and I'm... You know what? I'm going to give her the bonus question, too, with this thing. I'm going to let you answer... And even if you're wrong, I'm going to go and throw something at you that a bartender would know.
Okay.
All right, we got 3 left. We have margarita and mojito. There are 3 left on the board as the most popular cocktails in America.
Long Island iced tea.
You got it. Number 4 on the list, Long Island iced tea. 33% people say they've had at least one in the last 3 months.
Ooh, now, they are good.
Now, you got a prize, but I just want to prove that a bartender knows everything.
Okay.
What do you think the average cost, now figure in mojito, Long Island iced tea, margaritas, you're out on a night at the bar, I'm going to round it off to the highest number, so we'll keep the coins off of it. What is the average price of one of these drinks nationwide?
$6.
Oh, higher.
Ooh.
That's why I thought like 7. Resorts are higher.
Oh, my goodness. What are they drinking?
top shelf.
Okay.
Try it again.
Okay. I got $10.
Lower.
9.
Yeah. $8. I rounded off. $8.72, the average price for these drinks.
Holy crap. Well, at least if you get a Long Island iced tea, though, there's 6 different kinds of boozes in it.
All right. I want to do this, too, because everybody sees, you know, various restaurants love their special Long Island iced tea. What booze goes into a Long Island iced tea?
Gin, vodka, rum, tequila, sweet and sour, and a splash of Coca-Cola.
Just a splash.
Just a splash to give it the color of tea.
Yep, because there's no tea in it.
No, there is no tea.
Now, when somebody would come up to you and ask for something unusual, would you ask them what they were talking about, or would you just serve them something?
Well, I always looked a lot of stuff up, and I made a lot of drinks up. Like nowadays, when you go to a bar and order something that was called Smurf Piss back in my day,
yeah.
Now it's called like a shot of blue margarita.
What if I you're behind the bar and how are you this afternoon? Can you fix me bug juice, please? What would you give me?
Ooh, bug juice. It would have to have trying to think. What is green and blue and brown?
Yeah, come on. What do you think would be in there?
Okay. Oh, my God, I'm drawing a complete blank. I do not know.
Haney?
I know the color of it, but I can't think of what...
Well, he told you the color in the drink.
No, and then I just said bug juice.
Oh, bug juice. Yeah. I would think
I'd
green.
Blue. Oh, green, blue Curacao.
Yeah.
Rum.
Cream de mint?
Cream de mint? No, I don't think so.
Galliano?
And see, I do that just to see what she did, and I drink
no.
it.
No, Galliano's too expensive for something called bug juice.
Well, yes, Junior?
Grenadine?
Grenadine?
No.
How expensive is Galliano? That Galliano, yellow stuff.
Oh, that's like top shelf.
Because I'm going to tell you something. When my old man used to do the raids on the bar, he had a whole wall of Galliano.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I just didn't know. I thought it was just yellow cough syrup.
All right, just one more. What if me and Stan come in and we order a couple of Epstein's?
Yeah.
A couple of Epstein's?
No, don't even think about that. I don't want you even think. I don't want to even go there.
Sounds like a brave bull.
What can I get you? Autographed T-shirt, a back scratcher, or a haircut?
I would like an autographed T-shirt, please.
You've got it, and you've earned it. Hold on. I like her. We've had some good callers today. We've had a nice, perky bartender and a drunk, and I love it. 72-year-old sponge. Here's the deal. I'll give you the details on this. Yes, the average price paid for one of these most popular cocktails, $8.72 for one. Mojito was number 5. Long Island Iced Tea was number 4. Margarita was number 1. Coming in at number 3 was the Pina Colada. And at number 2, any kind of daiquiri. Strawberry daiquiri, banana daiquiri. But daiquiris were at number 2. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to get your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. We're Stan and Haney, 96K-Rock.
And I want to thank Congresswoman Marsha Fudge for hosting us. Every time I think about Trump, I get allergic. Boy, we have 63 days to go. Well, thank you. Whoa. Well, you just heard the next vice president, didn't you? In addition to thanking Marsha Fudge, let me also thank your great Senator Sherrod Brown. Also, excuse me.
More fun than a Soviet-style gulag without food, running water, or a working toilet. Stan and Haney, 96K-Rock.
So inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah. I thank Fudge. Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. We're going to be checking news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Matt Mangus handed this to me. Remember a few weeks back, all the Twitter accounts that were getting hacked.
The Bitcoin scam?
Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
They were all getting hacked. Turns out it was a kid. Tampa kid. A Tampa teenager is in jail after being accused of hacking several high-profile Twitter accounts. This according to the Hillsborough State Attorney's Office. According to Tampa's NBC affiliate, 30 felony charges were filed against 17-year-old Graham Clark
for scamming people across America regarding the Twitter hack that happened on July 15th. Clark was booked Friday morning, this morning, into the Hillsborough County Jail. Authorities say Clark hacked the accounts of Obama, Biden, Bezos, Elon Musk. Sounds like a smart kid. Put those energies elsewhere. There he is. There's his mugshot. Angry kid, too.
Yeah, Joker-looking kid.
Yep.
You know how I heard that happened? This kid was on a gaming site.
Yeah.
And buddied up with somebody playing video games. And he found out the guy works for Twitter. And he worked this guy for a while, playing the games with him, being his buddy.
Yeah.
And says, hey, what if I gave you like a couple of grand for your login? Oh, dude, I could use a couple of grand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm your bud, man. I won't do anything with it. I'm just curious. Yeah, okay. And that's how it happened.
Yeah, and then it happened.
Now, I don't know that to be true, but I've heard that from multiple sources. Okay.
I also want to say one more thing, and I've been getting a lot of feedback on the Absolute Law text line as well. That Marty, pure gold. All right. Anytime that guy wants to call in on the show, he's got a couple of friends here in Stan and Haney. Oh. Got a couple of buddies.
It's because it's always a party with Marty.
Yeah. You're all right, dude.
Is he?
Same guy that from yesterday in his room. He kept Playboy and Penthouse under his mattress back in the 60s. Before there was any full nudes, and Haney calmly asked him, what about We? Which was the European version of Playboy. The same people. And he thought he said weed and how he was smoking weed since he was 5.
Well, he was doing acid.
Acid. Let's get you updated on some headlines coming up in less than 1 hour.
Yes, I insulted him.
It'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Because We was for a European audience, it was a little more liberal.
Right. Let's see what you can expect in less than 1 hour on the news. Mark?
Stan.
Everyone. We're not there yet, Junior.
Honey, I'm home.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Okay, and you'll hear it again.
What's wrong?
Nothing. We're not there yet.
We're not where?
For the fluffer.
Shame!
Shame.
Shame!
We're not there yet. Shame.
Hi.
Hi. Shame.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we'll have some things for you didn't know.
Okay.
Another valuable study done by the CDC. Boy, I don't know how they do it. There's a pandemic going on, but they still have time to do their regular studies. And a new study finds, and this may shock you, the more money you make,
yeah,
the better you sleep.
Really? I'd like to try, see how it works.
Just experiment.
Yeah, let me see. And, you know, I'll be the judge of that. And something tells me, yeah, I'll sleep much better at night.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need no damn study to figure that out. Give me money. I don't have to worry about anything. I'll sleep well.
Dateline, Fruitland Park, Florida.
Fruitland Park? Where is that, Haney?
North Central.
Thank you.
A pizza delivery guy, and we were just talking about this with Mike Chiannopoulos the other day, about ignorance of the law excuses no man.
Correct.
Pizza delivery guy said he was completely unaware that it was illegal to pleasure yourself in your own vehicle. Nude man fights the police at the drive-in theater.
That's illegal, too.
Finally, there's a little something we know about women.
They're all crazy, and they're capable of anything.
And that's true even when they're not provoked.
Oh, yeah.
When they are provoked... A woman who makes her living as a flight attendant.
Yes. Yes.
Returned home to find her husband in a compromising position with another woman. Can you imagine what might have happened then?
Oh, she lost it.
Indeed.
Yeah. And you think, and Haney will have all the details for you. Now, I want you to wrap your head around this, and it's rightfully so. He was being, he was cheating. He had another woman in their marital bed. He didn't break any laws.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the one that took the quick ride to the Gray Bar Motel.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't him.
Blameless. Broken no laws.
He's broken no laws.
What the hell is wrong with everybody?
She did.
And
shame.
She'll pay.
Shame.
Shame.
Just shame.
Shame. Bring out your dead.
Shame.
Bring out your dead.
Shame.
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 Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
You know, laughter is important.
It sure is. That's why we now bring to you today's edition of the 4 o'clock Fluffer. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
These days, depending on the channel you have your TV on, different doctors are saying very different things.
Oh, yes, they are. Doesn't everybody remember back in March when they said once the summer heat comes, this COVID will burn off? You know, it's what we got to worry about the fall, because once the warm weather gets here, you won't worry about the COVID.
Remember the good old days when we thought it was just a boating accident?
Yep. We don't want you to wear a mask. It's not necessary.
As a matter of fact, a mask causes problems of its own.
Yes. Look, the summer's coming. The warmer climate is going to burn this thing right off. It's the fall we have to worry about.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
signs your doctor is nuts.
Top signs your doctor's nuts.
Continued to practice medicine even after Obamacare was passed.
Makes it tough for him.
You look up your symptoms on WebMD.
Yeah.
She looks up your symptoms on Reddit.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody we know.
You can't seem to understand him through the Darth Vader mask. She wore a face shield long before COVID-19 was a threat. To keep you from reading her thoughts.
Don't call women crazy.
Hey!
You're crazy.
You're crazy.
You f- old bitch.
Hey.
He says your urine sample seems to be normal, but a bit salty.
And a little oaky. Woodsy.
And finally, the very top sign, your doctor is nuts.
Yes.
Offers to save you a trip to CVS, grabs her purse, and hand you some of her personal antipsychotics.
Bring out your dick!
Shame. Shame.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame.
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see what this expert has to say about my cat. This is from Patrick.
Hey, cat expert?
Yeah, evidently. Hey, Stan and Haney. Love the show. Been a big fan since last year when I became a delivery driver. And I look forward to listening every day. I love hearing that. In the past year, gets a job being a delivery driver, discovers the Stan and Haney show. Probably spinning the dial, seeing what station comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly wasn't a commercial or a billboard or anything.
No, it's spinning the dial and going, hey, look, somebody's making an effort.
Yep. Somebody's trying. Somebody's not just phoning it in.
Oh, I don't think that's Stan and Haney. That wasn't funny.
Really? Well, guess what? We're not phoning in every show.
Shame! Shame! Shame!
Oh, I'd expect more of you two.
Oh, why don't you shut up? Sorry, I'm projecting shame on me. Shame.
Shame.
Shame! Shame! Shame!
Every day. In regards to your cat, Stan, it reminds me of a show called My Cat from Hell. Or a cat behavioral expert named Jackson Galaxy would help people with cats that have various issues.
The guy that gave up on playing guitar and filled his guitar case up with cat toys. That guy.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Get good, noob.
There was an episode where this couple had a predator cat that would attack them. And he explained that those types of cats can get a lot of pent-up energy, and in turn, they would behave aggressively. He had them, if I remember correctly, schedule regular play times with the cat and take it out for walks regularly, which seemed to fix the problem. I would look into that at least. Well, I thank you, Pat, but we've tried the pet harness. Escape-proof, by the way. Doesn't work. And every hour of the day with this cat is either sleep, eat, or playtime.
You know what? Who is someone to tell you how to treat your own animal?
Yeah.
Shame!
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 That's my truth.
Shame!
Shame. Bring out your dead.
Shame.
Let it loose.
Shame. Shame.
Bring out your dead.
Shame.
Bring out your dead.
Shame.
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 Yes. Adam has a problem with Haney and I and DC Comics. Trust me, Haney, you bring up this stuff, this Marvel DC stuff. They come out from under rocks.
I even said it when we were talking about it. Neither one of us gives a rat's ass about it.
You guys are high if you think Batman and Superman could take Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, and the Hulk.
Shame!
For once,
shame!
Junior is shame! Right.
Yes, that's very creative, Junior.
You posed the question the other day how the CBS survey about kneeling and not kneeling and just three words. Robert says, kneeling is unappealing. And you're patriotic if you wear a mask. Ladies and gentlemen,
I don't even know what he's talking about in this one. Oh, yeah, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
With the subject matter, just wrong. Ahoy, gentlemen. And I don't disagree with you, Guardian. There ain't nothing I can do about it because 3/4 of the country love it. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I'm sure you saw the despicable speech that Obama gave at the John Lewis funeral.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
It was just wrong to politicize what should have been a time to
at
honor
a
him.
Funeral in a church.
This was not a campaign for Biden. And how about the situation in Portland? Funny, isn't it Trump who mentions that if the police are going to take action, he will... I thought he was... If the police are not going to take action, he'll send in the National Guard. And with that, those criminals fled like cockroaches when the light came on. It's unbelievable the lies that keep coming out of the left's mouth. Lies, deceit. Trying to scare people. Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame.
You want to be afraid? Listen to the left's future plan for our country. Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Release the hounds.
Shame.
Shame. And Haney, just so you know.
Why aren't you making an effort, Junior?
Yeah, why aren't you? What's going on over there?
I don't agree with it.
Last time I checked, it's a Stan and Haney show, and you don't... Shame.
You don't release one hound when you're told to release all of them.
Yeah.
Shame!
Shame!
Shame! Shame!
Release the hounds.
Bring out your dad!
Shame!
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 Bring out your dad!
Shame!
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 And, Haney, just so you know, I don't interact on any social platform, and here's why. I don't want to put my family in harm's way. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
God bless you, Guardian.
God bless you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Shame. We're Stan and Haney. Shame.
Bring out your
shame.
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 Shame. That's all I wanted. Stan and Haney.
This is a symbol that you'll be seeing a lot from now on. It stands for the something wonderful that happens. The richer and more satisfying life your family can enjoy through the well-planned use of
Stan and Haney.
And one of the best things is this. Your family... Every family can afford it.
96 K-Rock.
Yeah, think about that. Radio, radio, this kind of radio is still free. Oh, well, you can get it this and get that. You pay the monthly fee. Radio's free. That's why you got Stan and Haney right here. Your free radio guys. Oh, look at this. You know what? I love, by the way, before I get to another thought, coming up at 6 tonight, our new guy, make sure you welcome him, the Stan and Haney way, Al Beck will be taking you through your Friday night. Nice to see some things coming back to normal. Coming soon. Keep listening for this. Free tickets for Busch Gardens Summer Nights. It's going on now at Busch Gardens, now through August 16th. Feel the spark after dark at Busch Gardens Summer Nights. Keep listening. More details coming soon so that you can go to Busch Gardens. Ahoy!
Hey, Bob.
Ah, geez. It's our North Fort Myers friend. We've called him a lot of things over the years. He still won't tell us his real name. What's going on, brother?
Well, looky here.
Looky here. Are you going to ever tell us your name? I don't want your last name. God knows I don't want to know what trailer you're living in. I'd just like a first name to call you every once in a while because you call in, you want to tell us what's going on, looky here and all that. I'd like a first name.
You can call me Snake, mother.
Snake. That's like a nickname. And they don't start with you and your mother. And Snake? No. I'm not going to call you Snake. What's your name?
All right. You promise you won't laugh?
I promise I won't laugh, and it'll be between you and I so I can talk to you like a brother, man.
Well, have you ever read the Bible?
Yeah, I've picked it up a few times, and I don't want you preaching to me because I don't want you to quote anything. You got a biblical name? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
What's your biblical name?
Well, what I found out is my mama went to one of them books in the Bible where all it says is so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat,
yes,
so-and-so
yeah,
begat.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, before I tell you my name, I'd really prefer if you just called me Snake.
I'll keep it in mind. Now, did you tell me your real name when I met you back in the day, back like 30 years ago when I was too good to shake your hand?
No, I don't tell nobody my real name.
Just Snake. Well, I didn't even know it was Snake.
My given Christian name.
Yes.
You laugh, I swear to God, I'll come get you.
I ain't gonna laugh. What's your given Christian name?
Zerubbabel.
Zerubbabel?
I think Zerubbabel was begat by Enosh.
Enoch.
And no, Enosh. Enoch begat Enosh, who begot Zerubbabel.
Zerubbabel. Well, what's going on, Snake?
Now, you ever going to trust me now? Just call me Snake.
Although, I can't believe that ought to be hell for you in school for as long as you were in there. Something tells me you didn't go to school a lot.
Oh, you think you might understand why I might be a little bit of a badass, have a little
yeah.
chip on my shoulder?
Yeah. Something tells me when you were a kid, you had to do a lot of fighting with a name like Zerizabel.
Now, looky here.
Looky here. You know what? Whether you have a funny biblical name or not, you should show people respect.
What do you think funny about Zerizabel? There's not a damn thing funny about it.
All right. How about showing a little respect, though?
I show you plenty of respect.
You do? You keep all telling me
time.
To looky here.
Well, looky here now.
What?
Just so we avoid another conundrum there where we go into a bunch of legal stuff, I'm going to be talking about the bar.
Yes.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And I don't understand the whole thing, but we're no longer a bar. We're a restaurant and a private club or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, Snake?
Yeah.
I completely understand, brother.
Okay.
I know where you're coming from. Looky
right
here,
looky
here. I know exactly where you're coming from, and I understand people got to make a living.
Hell yeah.
So you're going to refer to it as a bar, but it's really just a private club and a what?
A restaurant.
Restaurant.
And also a hand sanitizer depot and all kinds
sure.
of. I don't know what
sure.
he's doing.
Sure.
He's gone nuts, as far
sure.
as I'm concerned.
All right, but yeah, it's nice to know that you can get your hand sanitizer there, that the bar is a nice restaurant. And enough said, Snake. I completely
yeah.
understand.
It's essential business.
Right.
So
it's the central
this old boy store. Come in the this old boy come in the bar the other night.
Yeah.
And he started telling me some tall tales.
Oh, really?
Now I've been around here forever.
Sure.
You've been here for quite some time.
Not as long as you, though, Snake. I got here in '90. Not as long as you. You're born and raised.
Well, I was born in Chillicothe, Ohio.
When'd you get here?
As long as I can remember.
So when you were a little boy?
Yeah. So if they hadn't told me I was born in Chillicothe, I wouldn't know.
Right. So you were raised here.
Yeah.
You remember old Fort Myers. You remember the old days when there wasn't all these buildings and malls and all that stuff around.
Yeah, I remember nailing a pretty little girl right there by the walls of water.
Okay, Snake. So some guy's coming into the quote, air quotes, bar and telling you some tall tales.
Yeah, now I'm not college educated.
You don't say.
But this old fella was telling me some things, and I don't know if they be true 100%.
Uh-huh.
But he told me this story where he say he got into a kayak right around Chokoloskee.
Uh-huh.
And went on down to 10,000 Islands.
Yeah.
And made his way up what they call the Lost Man's River.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. What's the Lost Man's River, Snake?
Well, that's where, you know how you get down all them damn islands down there.
Yeah, I know all about that.
And they got waterways that go and take you on into the Everglades.
And one of them's called what?
Lost Man's River.
Yeah, that sounds spooky. You don't want to get caught there late at night.
Well, I guess it's no big deal. They got camping spots and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, then fine.
But this old boy say everything, you know, he likes being off by himself and whatnot. And he had plenty of cold beer in that kayak, so he's happy as a clam.
Sure.
And he decided that he'd pull that kayak in off the Lost Man's River and tie it off. He got all his supplies and his cold beer and all in that kayak. And decided he'd go and take a little bit of a swamp walk.
A swamp walk? Do you have to wear waders for that?
Well, it depends on what time of year it is and how much rain you had.
Gotcha.
Sometimes you can walk right across it like it's dry land. Other times, you know, you got the water up to your knee.
Yeah, and a lot of critters in there. Your snakes and your, you know, water moccasins and all that. Gator ready to bite you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything lived down there. Things they don't even know about live down there. Now,
yeah.
I've heard of swamp apes before and stuff like that.
Yeah, me too.
But I never heard about what this old boy's talking about.
So what is he talking about?
Because he said he went on a little bit of a swamp walk, and then he started hearing, and he swore, he said, I tell you, I know the difference between a dog, I know the difference between a coyote, and what I heard howling was a wolf.
Ooh. Did he say how it went?
I guess. I don't know.
Right. But he thought it was a wolf.
Yeah, he said it wasn't no dog, it wasn't no coyote, and this old boy, you know, he claims to be pretty educated, and he said, I looked it up, and there ain't been a wolf in the Everglades since 1911.
Well, that was the last time one was tracked, huh?
I reckon so.
Let me tell you, I'll bet you, like you just said, Snake, there's everything down there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised the wolf making a comeback.
Well, this old boy said when he heard that, that spooked him pretty hard.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, you know what? Last time I check, I'm on a kayaking trip. Why the hell am I swamp walking? I'm going back to my boat and getting the hell out of here.
Right on, because that's where the beer is, too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, he had a backpack with ice in it, but...
uh-huh.
He went on back. He was able to find his way back to where he tied the kayak off.
Yeah.
And that's where the fun begins, because he said something chewed through the damn rope and the boat was gone.
You're kidding.
And then he full-on panicked, and he said, only thing I could figure is try and remember about where I figured I'd come in off that river and then just head to the northeast, because otherwise you're walking towards nothing.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get lost in there when, you know, somebody went and untied his boat
and
took his beer.
And he went, and eventually he had to make camp at the driest spot he could find. And that night, he swore that there was 5 narwhals coming at him.
Five kind of wolves?
I guess you'd call them direwolves.
Direwolves?
He said, think about a wolf, but it's like the size of a rhino.
Wow. What about a bull wolf?
I don't know nothing about that, but I guess he shined a flashlight at him, and eventually they left.
Their eyes glow in the light and all that?
Yeah. So then he continued on the next day, and he's just trying to make it up there, you know, hoping that he'll hit 41 at some point.
Yeah, good luck.
And during this walk, lo and behold, he starts to hear them wolves again.
Uh-huh.
And so he hot-foots it, and he starts really moving. You know what he says he run into?
What?
A damn pyramid.
Oh, I heard they're out there.
Pyramid, like they made down in Mexico.
Yes. With, like, what, the Mayans?
Yeah, I guess it's one of them.
The Incas? What are they?
I think it was Maya.
Oh, really? Are you college educated?
Hell no. But I happen to have a cable box, and I received the National Geographic Society's channel.
It's called Nat Geo.
Right.
All right.
But he said that it wasn't a huge pyramid, but it was pretty big.
Yeah.
And he climbed up to the top of it.
Yeah.
And he said there was an opening at the top, you know, where that capstone should be.
Yeah.
And he said once he got to the top and he tried to look down in it to see if he could hear something, he heard some moaning.
Moaning?
It started out a low moan. And then he got real spooked, and he sees the damn wolves coming back in view, and he only had 5 shots in his old Springfield rifle he had. He unloaded 5 shots. He thinks he might have hit one of the sons of bitches, but he's running from the pyramid, and as he's running away, them moans turn into flat-out screams. He says eventually he made his way up to 41 the way he described it. I think he probably ended up somewhere around Turner River Road.
Sure.
And he found somebody to get him some help, and he says he never will go back to Everglades ever again.
Yeah, I think it's a tall tale. I don't believe him one bit. Does he have any pictures?
Well, he didn't have no pictures of his own, because I guess the phone went off with the boat. But he said he looked it up later, and that back in the 20s, there was people saying that there was pyramids in the Everglades, and that they had a bunch of snakes at the bottom, and they were cursed or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You believe in all that stuff, don't you?
Well, you're not educated. I don't claim to be educated, but I figured... Yeah, you always brag about being a college boy, and I just figured if you knew if there's anything to it.
I heard something about pyramids down there, but yeah, that's a tall tale. Hey, let me ask you also one thing, smart guy. Tonight at the bar, what's on the menu? A chip and what else?
It's a full buffet style of croutons and pretzels.
Yeah, you gotta be able to earn a living. Take a break. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
The Stan and Haney Show.
Yeah. I never go nowhere, man. I never go nowhere. Traffic's bad out there, man. I'm saving wear and tear. I like conditioned air, man. I never go nowhere. I go upstairs, downstairs, backyard, lawn chairs, living room, bathroom, bedroom, furnace room, hot tub, cedar deck, pillow, fire, washer, dryer, pantry, patio, barter, aroma, video, cold cellar, rec room, ping pong, mahjong, beer count, wear, then speed dial, order in. I ain't going nowhere, man. I ain't going nowhere. It's dangerous out there, man. Might have been a big bomb scare. Hard to get off of this easy chair. I ain't going nowhere. I go online, DSL, Amazon, buy and sell, eBay, layaway, last bid, noon today, plasma, Judy, Judge, broadband, Matt, Drudge, J.Crew, BNN.com, CNN, JPEG, email, pop-up, Gmail, shower cam, filter, spam, slam, bam, a finger, spam. I ain't going nowhere, man, never gonna go nowhere. It's a bungled jungle out there, man, some kid got mauled by a bear. Surround sound in my own lair, I ain't going nowhere. I got perimeter motion, doggy door, mail call, people, Avon, wireless, strobes on, pin code, keypad, relay, pepper spray, home base, interface, three zone, plug and play, infrared, photo cell, squad car, decibel, choppers up, sonic boom, activate the panic room. Zantac, Lipitor, Dizepam, Nexium, Prevacid, Percocet, Levitra, Leviquin, Elavil, Fosamax, Plavix, Keflex, Next Day, FedEx, Zithromax, Avalox, Flexeril, Topamax, Prozac, Ativan, Adderall, I take them all. I ain't going nowhere, man, never gonna go nowhere. I'm cutting my own hair, man, nothing I need out there. Outside sunny, but inside share, I ain't going nowhere.
Radio miracle so powerful it can strip paint. It's so gentle it's been approved by the FDA for use in baby food. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey everybody, Stan and Haney. Junior, was there a problem? Did somebody have a question or something that we could have helped them with?
Someone has a good Everglades story. I told them to email you for Monday.
Well, did they see a pyramid?
He didn't say, but he's going to email you, let you know.
All right.
You know, that story and earlier when we were explaining to Junior who the Go-Go's were because he didn't know.
Yeah.
Made me wonder something.
What?
You want to make a bet on it?
Well, I don't know what it is first to make a bet on it.
All right. Forget the we don't need to bet amongst each other, but what do you think the odds are? That Junior knows the legend of Woolly Swamp.
The song?
Yeah. The legend of Woolly Swamp. Do you think he knows what it is?
Are you betting on it, or is that at the...
I gotta see his poker face.
I could tell you about it.
You can tell me about it.
Yeah.
The legend of Woolly Swamp?
But are you betting on it?
What do you know about it?
No, I'm not betting nothing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
He knows nothing about the legend of Woolly Swamp.
Nothing.
Should we educate him?
Well, that's a kind of long song.
Yeah, but it's well worth it.
Yeah, but we got to do news here. But we play some of it. I think it's worth hearing a little bit of it.
And then he can explain to us what it's about.
Because that's long. That's cutting into valuable Stan and Haney time.
I think it's important information for him to know. Can't believe there are people walking around that don't know this.
But if you ever go back into Woolly Swamp Way, you better not go at night. There's things out there in the middle of them woods that make a strong man die to cry. Things that crawl and things that fly, things that creep around on the ground, and they say the ghost of Lucius Clay.
No
idea.
To
nobody else, and I couldn't believe it. I just had to find out for myself. There's some things in this world
you just can't explain.
Just passed away.
Just passed away? Like recently?
Yeah.
Like past couple weeks?
Yeah.
You better be listening.
People didn't think too much. Charlie Daniels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now listen.
The old man didn't care about people anyway. All he cared about was his money. He'd stuff it all down into mason jars and he'd bury it all around. And on certain nights, if the moon was right, he'd dig it up out of the ground.
To look at it.
He'd pour it all out on the floor of his shack and run his fingers through it.
Reminds me of Stan.
Yep, that's what I did. If I could do that, I would. There was to it.
But I couldn't believe it.
Couldn't believe it. I just
had to find out. Sounds like Junior there. Had to find out for myself. Wouldn't listen to nobody else. Some things in this world you just can't explain.
Yep.
The Cable Boys was white trash and lived over on Carver's Creek. They were mean as a snake and sneaky as a cat and belligerent when they'd speak.
Yep.
One night the oldest brother said, y'all meet me in the woolly swamp later and we'll take old Lucius's money and we'll feed him to the alligators. They found the old man out in the back with a shovel in his hand. 13 rusty mason jars that just dug up out of the sand. And they all went crazy and they beat the old man and they picked him up off of the ground and threw him in the swamp and stood there and laughed as the black water sucked him down. Then they turned around and went back to the shack and picked up the money and ran. Yeah. They hadn't gone nowhere when they realized they were running in quicksand.
But they wouldn't believe
it. They struggled and they screamed but they couldn't get away, and just before they went under,
they could hear that old man laughing in a voice as loud as thunder.
That's been 50 years ago, and you can go by there yet. There's a spot in the yard in the back of that shack where the ground is always wet. And on certain nights, if the moon is right down by that dark footpath, you can hear three young men screaming. You can hear one old man laugh.
You get it now?
You get it.
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's about Willie's Swamp, and you don't want to go there at night because Lucius Clay is there.
Did you say Willie's Swamp?
Woolly Swamp? Yeah. I thought you guys said Willie.
Woolly.
Woolly Swamp. Don't want to go there at night. They tried taking his money.
Yeah. Thank you.
So is that real? Or?
I would say that that's not real.
Pyramids in the Everglades.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Pyramids in the Everglades. And they're not shell bounds. Okay. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District starts right now.
There was a time. A time before cable. When the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard.
Can't believe he didn't even know that.
Only men were allowed to read the news.
Again, it's an age difference.
Are there others like him?
A lot.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, July 31st.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know. This may come as a shock to many of you, but the face of CNN, Anderson Cooper, has absolutely no training in the field of journalism.
Doesn't surprise me one bit. Take a look at him every night. He has no knowledge of what being a journalist is.
One can only speculate as to why he was hired by CNN as a journalist.
Last name Vanderbilt.
His only qualifications: a degree in political science from Yale, and he did have a rather impressive summer internship at the Central Intelligence Agency.
Okay, we've given internships out here, too.
We're not the CIA.
No, and you know darn well they didn't show him the good stuff.
Or maybe they did.
Well, maybe.
Like you said, Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Junior dominating another segment during Haney's News.
It's not my fault.
Could we hear some news instead of Junior? Sorry.
I don't care about Junior so much as I've wanted to listen to that CDB song for a while.
Oh, sure.
Most of us know Cassius Clay as Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
Is that his legal name?
What, Muhammad Ali?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, it is not.
Cassius Clay never legally changed his name to Muhammad Ali. But back in the 60s, you didn't really need to. The Social Security Administration did not require a legal change to put or switch the info on your Social Security card.
You were also known as. That was a name given to him by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And when he refused the draft and wasn't allowed to box and make millions of dollars, the Reverend or the minister Elijah Muhammad took away his name. Muhammad Ali still used it, but Elijah Muhammad took the name Muhammad Ali away from him. It was only a ceremonial name, but he adopted it, and back then you could do an also known as, and that's how he became Muhammad Ali.
And our final thing you didn't know, I will tell you, it's one that I would almost not even do because I would think most people know this, but after finding out Junior didn't even know the legend of Woolly Swamp, Junior, you know who Woody Harrelson is?
Of course. You just watched a movie with him last night.
Fun guy. Yeah. Fun guy. Yeah.
A lot of laughs with him.
Yeah. You know anything about his daddy?
Ooh.
No, I don't.
Oh.
Tell me more.
Oh.
Woody Harrelson's father was named Charles. Charles made his living as a professional hitman who was convicted of killing a federal judge in Texas in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
He died in federal prison doing a life sentence, and many believe we don't know the full extent of Charles Harrelson's activities.
Where did you say he did that? What state?
Texas.
Where was John F. Kennedy killed?
Texas.
Dallas, Texas. It is believed by some that Charles
Harrelson
was one of the three tramps at Dealey Plaza after the Kennedy, because they rounded up what they thought were tramps. One of them was E. Howard Hunt, CIA guy, and one of them was Charles Harrelson, who was asked while he was in prison, "Is that you?" And of course, he denied it. "No, that's not me. I don't know anything about that." He was one of the tramps in Dealey.
It's a smaller world than we think.
E. Howard Hunt right there with him. Oh, you know who else E. Howard Hunt palled around with? Richard Nixon.
And incidentally, with Woody Harrelson there, when we had our summer time off, I had been looking forward to it for so long and finally had the time to sit down and watch the movie Midway.
Oh, good for you.
I only made it midway through before I shut it off because I realized I was watching Chinese propaganda.
Sure, a lot of that stuff.
Because I wanted to see all about America, and instead what I ended up watching was how horrible the Japanese were to the heroic Chinese people.
Yeah.
Thank you, no.
Look up Charles Harrelson and read
look
a little
up,
bit about him.
Look up just how much of the movie business China controls.
Oh, all of it.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, Dateline, Fruitland Park, Florida. What are you doing? Don't let him distract you. And what I was waiting for is for you to ask where it was. It's reasonably,
North Central.
Yeah, it's reasonably close to Leesburg.
Okay. I'm wondering if when I was coming back from Georgia and I took those roads through all the central part of Florida, if I went through Fruitville.
Fruitland Park.
Fruitland Park.
Reasonably close to Leesburg.
Thank you.
On Tuesday night, a woman in Fruitland Park pulled into a parking spot next to a 1996 Honda Civic in a convenience store parking lot.
All right.
And she couldn't help but notice the man inside the car was very busy while vigorously pleasuring himself.
Yeah, right there in the automobile.
Well, unlucky for him, that woman turned out to be an off-duty police officer.
Right there in Grapefruitville.
Yep. Fruit Town.
Fruit Town, Florida.
Now, she's off-duty, you know. She's put in her time. She's dealt with enough of this for one day.
Yep.
So she took down his license plate and called the on-duty cops. And they located 22-year-old Stephen Donovan at his home.
Jeez, wonder what kind of home he lived in.
Yes? How we doing today?
Well, howdy.
You know why we're here?
Yes.
I can't imagine why.
Yes, I know why. I didn't think I was breaking any laws.
Now, Stephen immediately and fully admitted, why, yes, I was doing that. What's the problem? And he explained to the police officers that he firmly believed it's perfectly legal to pleasure yourself in your own vehicle.
Yes.
It is not.
Wait a second. You've always told me a man's vehicle is sovereign.
That's my doctrine. That's the Haney doctrine. Where my car is like an aircraft carrier. Yeah. Wherever it goes, that's sovereign Haney territory.
Yeah.
But that's not always observed.
Oh.
Now, it's a difficult moment for Stephen because he doesn't live alone.
No.
And at this point, his live-in girlfriend has made her way to the front door and, well, she's curious as to why the police are there and why they are in the process of arresting him. Stephen then had to explain and apologize to his girlfriend what the situation was and advised her that he was horny and watching porn following his pizza delivery shift. He has been charged with misdemeanor exposure of sexual organs.
Look at this mess. Look at that mess.
What a bright future.
Yep. Dead eyes and very dry hair.
Well, compared to this next story, he's a big winner in life.
Really?
Police in Center Township, Pennsylvania received a call earlier this week regarding a nude man causing a scene at the drive-in theater.
Nice to know they got a drive-in theater.
When they arrived, they found 28-year-old Ronald Cito of Madison, Ohio, running around the drive-in nude when they learned he had already punched three security guards when they advised him to leave. Evidently, Ronald makes no distinction between security guards and police officers because he did the same to the police as they arrested him. And as they advised him, he was being taken to a facility to be evaluated. He is facing a laundry load of charges. There is no explanation whatsoever for the man's behavior. He offered none other than a series of grunts.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, we've warned you over the years, women are both delicate and dangerous creatures.
Yep.
Even unprovoked, at best, all women are crazy.
Yep.
And capable of anything.
Indeed.
But beware a woman fueled by actual righteous anger. There's a lovely 29-year-old woman named Nicole Dennison.
And she is lovely.
Well put together.
Yeah.
She lives in Safety Harbor, Florida. And she works as a flight attendant for Allegiant Air. It appears that this started when her husband became confused regarding Nicole's schedule. Because Nicole arrived home at approximately 11 p.m. Wednesday and walked in on her 34-year-old husband,
who looks like a dork. She can do better than that.
Having full-on sexual relations with another woman. That was the spark. Mm-hmm. Here is the fire. Nicole went on a complete rampage. She began swinging and connected several times with the husband's face and arms, but she was far from done. The rampage continued when she pulled what's known in the business as an animal house, grabbed the dweeb's acoustic guitar, and smashed it against the wall, destroying the guitar and producing a huge gash in the wall. Now, the husband and this whore, this is the world we live in.
Yep.
The husband and his cheating whore there, they are completely innocent.
Blameless.
In the eyes of the law. This man had the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to call the police on his wife. She was arrested for misdemeanor domestic battery.
Yeah, she's lovely. Look at her. She's a pretty. Look at her eyes, a little cross-eyed like a Siamese cat. Look at her.
I wouldn't want to anger her.
No. But look at her. She's got a half smile there, too. Like, she feels good with what she did. He had it coming.
And I don't think she's done.
No. Oh, no.
And look that at half him. Smile as she knows it's just begun.
Yeah. What a dork he is.
Poor judgment.
Yep.
Shame.
Shame.
And that's the news for today, Friday, July 31st.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Shame.
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 Shame. Shame.
Bring out your dead.
Shame.
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 Bring out your dead.
Shame.
Bring out your dead.
Shame!
Shame!
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll take a break. We'll be back. We're standing with Haney. Shame! Shame! 90-
Shame! Shame! Shame!
96 K Rock.
As for Mom, she'll be thrilled with the radio that never forgets. Besides turning on appliances automatically, it can be set to remind Mom when her favorite program is on the air. And now, another chapter in the lives of
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Well, hey there, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for spending your week with us. It means a lot. Al Beck, our new guy coming up at 6 o'clock, he will take you through your Friday evening, and we've got one final look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Couple of things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash, Metro Parkway and Crystal Drive, and then in the park, crash, 8,000 block of Wingfoot Drive, and you are up to date. Let's laugh.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
In the California desert, they found bones of a prehistoric porpoise. And they're saying it's interesting because this porpoise's upper jaw sticks out a lot further than his lower jaw. So I figure he's got to look like... And they're already trying to figure out if this upper jaw was used for, like, mating or catching fish. And I'm thinking, what if it's just a goofy-looking fish? You know, like a dork fish. He's like, oh, this ain't the ocean. Woo! I better buy me some water. Because can you imagine if you were fishing and you caught a dork fish? Because you know your friends would be like, hey, man, what kind of fish is that? You'd be like, oh, nothing. Because you know that fish would stick his head out of that bucket. Out the door, fish. He caught me on a corn dog. Be pretty cool if they sold them in pet stores. Because you know they say pets always look like their owners. It's like you go over to your friend's house. Hey, Buford. What kind of fish is this? Dart fish? I'm just fixing to feed him. What do you feed a dork fish? Corn dog?
Have yourselves a great weekend. Lord willing, we're back here on Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy!
Hey, Bo!
Ah, geez. It's our North Fort Myers friend. We've called him a lot of things over the years. He still won't tell us his real name. I'd like a first name.
You can call me Snake, mother.
Okay, Snake. So some guy's coming into the quote, air quotes, bar and telling you some tall tales.
Yeah, now I'm not college educated.
You don't say.
But this old fella was telling me some things, and I don't know if they be true 100%. But he told me this story where he say he got into a kayak right around Chokoloskee and went on down to 10,000 Islands and made his way up what they call the Lost Man's River.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. What's the Lost Man's River, Snake?
Well, that's where, you know how you get down all them damn islands down there.
Yeah, I know all about that.
And they got waterways that go and take you on into the Everglades.
And one of them's called what?
Lost Lost Man's River.
Yeah, that sounds spooky. You don't want to get caught there late at night.
Well, I guess it's no big deal. They got camping spots and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, then fine.
But this old boy say everything, you know, he likes being off by himself and whatnot. And he had plenty of cold beer in that kayak, so he's happy as a clam.
Sure.
And he decided that he'd pull that kayak in off the Lost Man's River and tie it off. He got all his supplies and his cold beer and all in that kayak and decided he'd go and take a little bit of a swamp walk.
A swamp walk. Do you have to wear waders for that?
Well, it depends on what time of year it is and how much rain you have. Sometimes you can walk right across it like it's dry land. Other times, you know, you got water up to your knee.
Yeah, and a lot of critters in there. Your snakes and your, you know, water moccasins and all that. Gator ready to bite you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything lived down there. Things they don't even know about live down there. Now, I've heard of swamp apes before and stuff like that.
Yeah, me too.
But I never heard about what this old boy's talking about.
So what is he talking
about? Because he said he went on a little bit of a swamp walk, and then he started hearing, and he swore, he said, I tell you, I know the difference between a dog, I know the difference between a coyote, and what I heard howling was a wolf.
Did he say how it went?
I guess. I don't know.
Right. But he thought it was a wolf.
Yeah, he said it wasn't no dog, it wasn't no coyote, and this old boy, you know, he claims to be pretty educated, and he said, I looked it up. And there ain't been a wolf in the Everglades since 1911.
Well, that was the last time one was tracked, huh?
During the swamp walk, lo and behold, he starts to hear them wolves again.
Uh-huh.
And so he hotfoots it, and he starts really moving. You know what he says he run into?
What?
A damn pyramid.
Oh, I heard they're out there.
Pyramid, like they made down in Mexico.
Yes. With, like, what, the Mayans?
Yeah, I guess it's one of them.
The Incas? What are they?
I think it was Maya.
Oh, really? Are you college educated?
Hell no. But I happen to have a cable box, and I received the National Geographic Society's channel.
It's called Nat Geo.
Right. Once he got to the top and he tried to look down in it to see if he could hear something, he heard some moaning.
Moaning?
It started out a low moan. And then he got real spooked, and he sees the damn wolves coming back in view, and he only had 5 shots in his old Springfield rifle he had. He unloaded 5 shots. He thinks he might have hit one of the sons of bitches. But he's running from the pyramid, and as he's running away, them moans turn into flat-out screams. And he says eventually he made his way up to 41 the way he described it. I think he probably ended up somewhere around Turner River Road.
Sure.
And he found somebody to get him some help, and he says he never will go back to Everglades ever again.
Yeah, I think it's a tall tale. I don't believe him one bit. Do you have any pictures?
Well, he didn't have no pictures of his own, because I guess the phone went off with the boat. But he said he looked it up later, and that back in the 20s, there was people saying that there was pyramids in the Everglades, and that they had a bunch of snakes at the bottom, and they were cursed or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You believe in all that stuff, don't you?
Well, you're not educated. I don't claim to be educated, but I figured... Yeah, you always brag about being a college boy, and I just figured if you knew if there's anything to it.
I heard something about pyramids down there, but yeah, that's a tall tale. Hey, let me ask you also one thing, smart guy. Tonight at the bar, what's on the menu? A chip and what else?
It's a full buffet style of croutons and pretzels.
Yeah.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.